Hello.
Hi, Robert. It's Sarah again. Are you
Hi.
able to
Yeah.
come? Okay, I'm going to get
Yeah,
her on.
I'm ready.
All right, hold
I'm
on one
ready.
second.
All right.
Okay, guys, I have Robert, who is the client, and Jackie, who will be your caregiver on the phone. You can introduce yourselves to each other and ask anything you'd like. I'm going to mute myself so you guys can talk amongst yourselves.
Okay,
Okay.
perfect. Thank you. Hi,
Yeah.
Robert. How are you?
Hi, Jackie. I'm doing good. You can call me Bob. Everybody calls me Bob.
Okay, Bob.
Bob is your nickname for Robert, so it's I my mother and father started that when I was a wee kid, so
Oh.
still doing it
So
now.
Bob,
Well, some
how's
people.
everything going?
Oh, it's doing okay.
Are
How
you
about
new with the
you?
company? Everything's good. Everything's good. Right now, starting with this new company, really excited about meeting new clients. Previously from this, I was a memory care director. I led a 40-bed unit. Previous to that, I was also a memory care director. So I was with that company for about 7 years. Previously, another assisted living, I did 2 years with them as a memory care director. And then prior to that, I actually did home health. So I'm trying to get back to my roots right now and just trying to, go a little bit back. I feel like I lost a lot when, after having kids, working in the field constantly was something that I felt like I lost a lot of time with them. So right now I'm gonna take a step back, and I'm very excited to meet. I worked with seniors. I've worked with kids with neurocognitive illnesses. I'm a savvy teacher, so that means I work with the United Way, and I teach classes for them on dementia and neurocognitive illnesses. I do have a lot of experience. I would train my staff to be able to take care of the residents in the assisted living. So I would do about 6 to 10 hours of training with them before they even touched anyone. So I'm excited to meet you. So Bob, tell me, do you have any family in the area?
Well, I live in Quakertown, on a place called Melody Lakes. I don't know if you're familiar with Quakertown at all. Yeah, it's
I've
prefab
been.
homes. It's prefab homes here. So I moved, let's see. I'll start from the very beginning. How's that?
Yep, that's always the best place to start.
Originally was born in Cleveland, Ohio. In 69, I moved to Florida with my mom and dad because my dad got, he worked for General Electric Corporation. He was an electrical, or not electrical, mechanical engineer, and they needed one in Florida, and we ended up going there. Anyhow, so I lived there in Florida for, oh, until I became an adult, and I got married, and I, my mom and dad passed away, and my
Sorry.
spouse's mother and father passed away. So we had decided we were house parents down there. We took care of nine boys in a
Wow.
what do they call it? House parent in a house,
Yeah, so was
And we
it like
did
a
that.
foster care? Like
It
you
was
were
like a
fostering
foster
them?
care, like fostering, but they were they were they had they were pulled out of their homes by the state because for one reason or another. And
That was very
that's
kind of
where
you
the
both to take nine boys is a lot. That's a lot.
there's a lot. Well, we stayed with that job for almost 2 years. Really, actually more like a year and a half, I guess. But the problem that we ran into, the company we were working for was not a Christian organization. And they, you know, they wanted us to go to church. But on Sunday morning, if one child said, no, I don't want to go, then nobody did. And that was what the company says. If one child says no, nobody goes.
Oh, no.
Well, that's not right. So we stayed with it, and then we decided we liked taking care of kids. We liked the job, but we just couldn't fathom the company we were working for.
Right.
So we started looking around, being that our mother and fathers were gone, and I had a brother down there, and that was about it. And we, I had two brothers down there, but we decided we'd just look all over the United States for different places. And we found here in Pennsylvania, over in Warminster, Pennsylvania, a place called Christ Home. And it was cottages, and the same setup, we became a house parent, and where we had eight children, four boys, four girls, ranges from ages to 4 till 16.
And, oh, you took on teenagers.
you
are a brave man.
That is a chore, I tell you. But, you know,
they
were all teenagers. They were mixed ages, you know, so it was good. So we did that for 5 years. And, of course, my wife and I, at the time, she could not have children. So we were looking into adopting. And we went through the classes and everything. Now, when we went down to the county to go, we had to go to classes, they're willing to waive the classes completely and just let us go ahead and adopt because of the jobs that we had. She says, you don't need any training, you've got plenty of training. But
not only that, but I'm sure there's such a need for kids to be adopted, and they just stay in the system so long.
Well, they do. And I said, no, we need to go ahead and go through your course. Cross all our T's, dot all our I's, because I don't want to get before a judge ready for the adoption. And then in his wisdom, he would say, no, you've got to have to take your classes. So I said, let's cross all the T's and dot all the I's. So then we did that. We went to the classes, got all that done. We became certified. Of course, we were certified at Christ Home too, but... It was, you know, so anyhow, we were in the process of finding a child, and we instead of looking anymore, we had decided that we wanted to. We give our notice in at Christ Home and move on. And like I told my wife, we need to go move on and get real jobs.
Yeah.
Because it didn't seem like we were working. I mean, you're with the kids, you're taking care of kids. What was the job? You know, I mean, it was just a normal household. That's the way I looked at it, you know. So
so you felt the need to get back into the work field.
Yeah, I felt the need to get back in the work field. And, so are the caseworker for two of the children there, Christian and Yasmin. They're a brother and sister. They had been with us since we went to work there. They came the first week that we were there. And they came there at, one was almost 5 and the other one was 6. So,
and they were siblings?
And they were siblings.
Okay.
So we were there with them. And they all, you know, we were just like mom and dad to them because they did have parents, but parents never paid any attention to them. So the caseworker, she said, you know, you're leaving here. and you're looking to adopt. You're still looking to adopt. I said, yes, we are. So why don't you just adopt Christian and Yasmin? They're brother and sister. They know you. You know them. You're the only parents that they really, they're the only people like parents that they know. Why don't you adopt them? And I said, well, Christ don't have policy. I'd go, we had to leave for 6 months and then come back and see if the child was still there, then we could adopt them. Well, the caseworker turned to us and she said, tell me, when you leave here, are you going to be driving paychecks in the Christ home? I said, no. Will you be working for them? No. Then that doesn't make any difference what their policies are. Don't worry about it. She says, you go ahead, get your house that you're going get, that you're moving into. Go ahead and give your notice and leave. And in 30 days, I'll have the kids there with you. And in 30 days, she's to her word, the kids came to live with us. So they became our children, and now they're adults. They're Christian is 27, and Yasmin is 28, if I remember right. And Yasmin, my daughter, she went to college, and she's got a master's degree in psychology.
Nice.
And my son, he just wanted to work. So I think he's working in a foundry. But you know, boys, they don't talk to their parents much when they get adults. And I know.
Please don't tell me that. My son,
I know myself. My mom used to call us once in a while. Yeah, well, I will. I'll give you a call. And then, yeah, but you never call. I said, yeah, but look at it this way. If I call you, I got a problem. If you don't hear from me, I don't have any problems. But she didn't ever go over well. But like those words have come back to me now. So anyhow,
my mom often does that to me as well. You don't call me.
Yeah. So I said, well, that's a little bit of my history. And of course, then we moved up to Wilkes-Barre. We lived in Wilkes-Barre for, I guess about 3 years. And then I was working part-time. I had problems. I was working, first I had a full-time job. I was working as a caregiver. I worked for American Caregivers, and I was taking care of elderly. Okay.
Wow.
So
how did you get into that?
Well, it was job application. I mean, I saw the opening in the newspaper. I said, okay, I'll do that. Because my mother had multiple sclerosis, and until I took care of her for 11 years. Before I had gotten married. And so taking care of an elderly person was nothing hard for me, you know. So I did that for a while. And then I had to work on weekends. And my kids are complaining to me, Dad, you're never home on weekends. That's the only time we're home is on weekends, and you get home in the afternoon. You have a see in the evening, but we'd like to go some places in the weekends. I said, yeah, I know. So I looked for another job. I found a job as a security guard 5 days a week, and I had weekends off. So I said, well, I'll just take that. I mean, the money was about the same, so I had benefits and everything, so it wasn't bad. Well, that worked out for a while, and then I ended up getting sores on my feet from walking. I ended up with diabetes, and I got sores on my feet from walking around all around. So I was walking about 2 miles a day, which kept my weight down, but that had caused other problems. So the doctor told me that you cannot be on your feet anymore. You need to go on what they call it, disability. So I went on disability. I was 57, and I went on disability. And that was all right. I mean, I was bored the first couple of weeks at home. and the kids loved it. I was there all the time. But that worked for a while, and then I went to work, and then I looked for something part-time during the day, but they were at school. And my wife at the time, she worked for a company called, it was a nonprofit organization, it was called Reach. And Reach was a company that helped the homeless. They had a center, so the homeless would come during the day, they could use telephone, they could, they would have something, they'd have a place where they could have breakfast there. They would help them find work and so forth and so on. My wife at the time, she took the other end of it. They had another part of it that she had to go around to people who had children that they had. She got referrals from the county, and what she had to do is teach parents how to be parents, what to do and what not to do, how you should raise your child and how you shouldn't do it. And when the caseworker comes to see you, don't ask her if she wants a beer. Don't ask your kids to go get her a beer.
Do people do that?
Yes, they did that. And
oh, my God.
But the people did that. So she had to teach them, you don't do that. You want your kids? You want to keep your kids? Don't be doing that. So anyhow, we did that for a while.
Wait. Bob, real quick question. Was this more inner city kids that she was working with?
Yes. It was
Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, it was Wilkes-Barre and Kingston area. They weren't really country. They were mostly all, it's little towns there, little cities.
Mm-hmm.
So she had all walks. And I got to know them all too, because at Christmas time I was going with her. Because she had presents for all the kids, and I would go with her to help her carry the presents and so forth. And then they have a Christmas party for all the kids, and of course, I'd be Santa Claus for all the kids. So I enjoyed that myself. But anyhow, so that was fine. Then that shortly after that is when I started getting problems with my feet and having problems walking and so forth. And then
feeling in the leg, huh?
Yeah. And I ended up getting a job at Reach. Years before, when I was a young man, I worked in men's clothing and ladies' clothing. And so I understood clothing and I understand what people should wear. Well, they had what they call a clothes closet there at Reach, mm-hmm. and they needed somebody to coordinate it. It was a part-time job, so I said, okay. So that's what I did. Well, somehow, in 2010, I was working there, and I got bit by a spider on my leg.
Oh, no.
And I didn't think anything about it. I killed the spider. I turned to my computer, and it was right there in the clothes closet, and I looked at it, and I looked it up, and I found it. It was a brown recluse. I didn't think anything of it. So I called I called my doctor. I didn't say, so, you know, I'll come down, and I get you some antibiotics. So I did. I went over and saw him that day. He gave me a prescription. I went and got antibiotics. I took him for about a month. It seemed to, where the spider bit me, it seemed to heal up. Everything is fine. This is in November, and I went through December. In January, where that spider bit me, it kept the bite, it kept opening up, bleeding, and then would heal back up again. And it kept doing that. So I called the doctor in the end of January and told him what it was doing. And he said, well, come on into the office this Monday. I said, all right. Well, I didn't make it to Monday. Sunday, when I woke up, that one Sunday before, my whole leg was swollen up like a watermelon. And to top everything off, my wife at the time and I, she weren't getting along too well. And I found out that morning that she had a boyfriend. So,
how long were you married at this point?
15 years.
Oh, no.
So I says, well, okay. So I she was gone for the weekend. Well, she'd taken the kids with her. Mm-hmm. And so I was by myself in the house. So I called. I had to call her on her cell phone and say, hey, you know, I got needs. I got problems. I need you, somebody to take me to the emergency room. And she says, well, I'll be honest with you. I got a boyfriend. I says, all right, you got a boyfriend. Like, now I need to go to the emergency room. And she says, well, she says, you know, I can't, you're a big guy. I can't get you out to the car by myself. Would it be okay if Rick come along? I says, Rick is his name? Yeah. I says, well, I'll tell you what, it don't matter. You can bring the devil himself. I don't care. I got to get to the emergency room. He came. He was a nice fella. He helped me out to the car. I got in the car, went to the emergency, and I was in the hospital then from that point. And then I had to go to a nursing home after it. And I didn't get out of the nursing home until May. So I was in there from the beginning of February to the end of May. And of course then, you know, we had basically separated. And it was put to me by my ex-wife. She says, well, she wasn't my ex-wife yet, but she was still my wife because they hadn't gotten divorced. And she says, you know, you don't have any relatives where you're at. You're living alone. And I'm 2 hours away, but you need some. I said, yeah, I know. And he says, why don't you see about moving up here into Berwick area where I'm at? And if you need something, we'll be here to help you. So I thought about it and I says, you know, I don't condemn her for anything and I won't do that because I won't put the kids in the middle. And,
right.
So I ended up moving up there a block from her house. And I got to say her ex-husband and I became very good friends, or her husband, he became her husband. Become very good.
You were so much better than me, I swear.
So,
I don't know if I could have done it.
I looked at, you know, I got kids. You know, I'm not gonna play them against it. So I wasn't gonna do that.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so we ended up, I was living up there. I had problems with the leg again. Leg started swelling up. I went to the doctor up in Berwick. He kept binding my leg up, and it was worse and worse and worse. And then finally one night, it just swelled up so bad. The next day, my ex-wife, she comes and sees me, and she says, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to the hospital, or do you want to go to Berwick Hospital, or do you want to go to Danville up in Geisinger? I said, let's go to Geisinger. I know Geisinger is a bigger hospital. I went to the Geisinger Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The surgeon looked at my leg. He saw x-rays. He says, the reason why your foot and leg is swollen because you have 4 broken bones in your foot. That infection that you had has never gone away. It's in the bone, and it's rising
up. So it became septic.
It becomes septic. And he says, best thing we can do is, really, we could kill the infection, but then the bones are damaged. You're going to have to go through surgeries in order to pick them up, and could be in and out of the hospital 5 years. So
how old were you at that point?
I was 58.
68, and, okay.
58. And so he said, I think you should amputate. And you'd be better off. I said, no, I don't want an amputation.
That's a hard thing to say. Absolutely.
It was very, because it's the right leg. You know, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. lose the right leg, how are you going to drive a car? If it's left leg, not a problem. You can always drive a car. Right leg, you can't drive because you can't go on pedal. You can't work the pedal.
There's ways around that now, but.
Yeah, well, I did try that. Anyhow, so I ended up on December the 6th, 2012, was it? No, 2011. The doctor, that afternoon, the doctor told me that morning, that afternoon, I called the nurse in. And I said, look, go hold the doctor and tell him I think I should do the amputation. Because I felt sick every day. I felt just horribly sick. And so they said, okay. Nurse came in. She said, okay, it's all set up. I said, okay. Well, I was thinking a couple of days. No, next day was Monday. That was that day. I had to, they come to get me, and I said, where am I going? You're going down to the surgery. For what? And they said, you got to have your leg amputated. Then it really hit me good. So I just, I can't back out. Let's go ahead and do it. So I lost my left leg, or my right leg. And so I ended up, Geisinger has a phenomenal system. I lost the leg. I didn't feel no pain at all the time I was in there. There was no pain at all. They had me so doped up on all kinds of drugs, which was good. So, and then they took me to their rehab place that they have for that. And I was there for the whole month, the rest of the month of December. I went home on January 1st. And I went from there. And so I lived there.
I'm sure there was physical therapy going on, right?
Yeah, I had physical therapy going on. And then
occupational.
I joined this thing online, looked for somebody to share my life with.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the lady I'm with now, Marla.
Myla.
Marla.
Marla.
Marla. Yeah, I'm with her now. And she was living in Norristown when I met her. We grew down there. And then just before she retired, we ended up moving up here to moving up here to Quakertown. And Melody Lakes. She just happened that her uncle had passed away and left her some money. So she said, listen, I want to retire and I want a house to retire to. I'm going to buy a house. And you can live there with me and we'll get along. I said, okay. So we did. And we ended up.
How did you meet Marla?
Through online. I met her online. I met her online before I had the amputation.
Oh. I mean, with you through that whole process, like as you were like.
Well, not really, because I wasn't where my computer was. I was in the hospital.
Oh, that's
and
true.
And that was before they had really, I guess they did have them, but I didn't have one. My cell phone was a flip top. The old flip.
Like a flip phone. I remember
cell
those.
Phone flips, that
mm-hmm.
was my cell
they were
phone.
The hardest things to text on.
they were. And anyhow, I didn't talk to her at all the time. I wasn't there. And when I got back home and went online, she wrote me several letters. And she kind of was wondering about me and so forth. So I thought,
she was
woman
worried.
Really,
she hadn't talked
really
to you.
Yeah. Right. So I got in touch with her. And the next thing you know, we were talking to each other on the phone. And then she came up to visit me a few times. And I came down to visit her. And she was a nurse. She worked in dialysis. So,
well, that's helpful. Yes.
Helpful. But of course, right now she's just as bad, if not worse than I.
Oh no.
Does
Marla live in the home? So you guys are living together.
Yeah, we are living together. Her sons live here too. Well, one son he's got multiple sclerosis and he has schizophrenia. But they don't know whether it was the multiple sclerosis that caused the schizophrenia or the schizophrenia that caused the multiple sclerosis. But he gets everything's fine.
There's always a link between the two, yeah.
Yeah. So he's a good guy. You know, he's everything. Her other son moved in about a year ago and he is he's going through a divorce himself.
Oh.
So, and in fact, he's in between jobs right now. And her other son, Patrick, is gone with his son up north Pennsylvania somewhere. And his son does, what do they call it, groundskeeping, mowing lawns, big jobs, you know, like 10 acres
at a
time.
Oh, like landscaping.
You know?
My fiance does landscaping.
Yeah, well, he was doing the, they were doing this one area that was solar panels, and that was 10 acres.
Like putting them on the roof?
No. They were just mowing the lawn.
Oh, okay.
They just had to mow the lawn, the landscaping, mowing the lawn, because it has to be mowed. So he got that contract to do that. And Patrick went with him. If nothing else, he can't do a whole lot, but he does a little bit. But he went with him just kind of like his son wouldn't be alone. So he's up with him. He won't be back till this Friday. And Brian, her other son, he's just got another job, and he's going to be going for a couple of weeks on his other job because he's like a roofer repair person, and he just has this job coming up to where he's held them off until Patrick gets back because they take care of their mother, and that's the reason why I need someone here to help me because I need help with taking showers, cleaning myself, and need help to take care of things that I'm bad at.
You're not bad at it. It's just you need a little bit of help. So, I mean, you have to give yourself credit for the things that you can do. A lot of times we really think about what we've lost, but not what we still have. So that's really
that's
important
right.
for you to do that.
I used to always say, the more I do, the more I can do.
Very good.
And
that's what I used to say.
I mean, up until last year, I was going out in the wintertime in my wheelchair, and I was shoveling the snow.
Look at you. I don't even like to shovel snow now when I'm good. Well,
I figured that I'm the perfect person to shovel snow. I can't slip and fall. I'm sitting in a chair. Now, I slid around a lot.
You can slide down the driveway, though.
Yeah.
That happened
a couple of times, but it didn't bother me. I had to shovel, and I just moved myself around. So, it worked. But last year, I physically just knew I couldn't do it anymore. So
is this the first time that you're having someone come into the home and help you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, your expectation of me. What is it like you would like for me to do for you? Are you able to transfer yourself?
I can transfer myself. I can. I have a limousine chair. A recliner. I have a recliner. I don't know why.
The one that
kind of
rises.
Limousine. Yeah, it rises and
into a standing position.
Down. Yeah. Right. And right now I have one of the main problems I have is an ulcer on the bottom of my foot. My left.
Do you
foot.
Know what stage it's in?
Yeah.
Do you know what stage the ulcer is in?
Well, I'm not sure. It's it was as big as on the heel of my foot, and it was as big as a silver dollar.
Okay, so you're probably in stages about, 2 and 3 right now.
Right. So
do you have wound care coming in for you?
Yes, I do.
What company do you use?
St. Luke's.
Okay.
St. Luke's comes in 3 times a week, and they change the bandage. And then once every 2 weeks, I go to the wound care at St. Luke's Hospital, the old hospital, and they check it out, and they measure it, and they look at it, and they give the orders to the nurses to what they need to do.
Have they impacted the wound yet or no?
Well, I don't know what you mean by impact.
Sorry. It's when they start putting things inside of the wound to try to get it healed and then, like, remove it?
No. No, the only thing that they've done is put things on the top of it. They got this stuff that looks like...
only in stage 2. Yeah.
Rubber. Looks like a black piece of rubber they put on it. And
have they given you any adaptive devices so you can keep your limbs up so it doesn't affect the wound? So, for instance, you're talking about the
healing. That's the reason why I got the recliner. So I'm in the recliner majority of times during the day, except when I'm up, maybe eating or going to the bathroom or cleaning up. Now, when I get showered, it's a sink shower. Yeah, I can't get the foot wet. So Can't get the foot wet. But now St. Luke's has been having their aides come in twice a week and washing. Help me wash. But that was just temporary. Until I got somebody, and
so at least they've been assisting you in this meantime to get washed, and right now you're just doing sink side care, correct?
Right. Yeah, but it's just doing the just getting washed in the sink and things like that.
Okay.
I can wash my front parts. But
it's just the back. So when we're standing,
my back, my bottom, those, and I can't look back there. If I have any sores or anything, I can't tell. So they kind of watch for those things too.
Skin assessments need to be done routinely, correct?
Mm-hmm. I need that done routinely because.
Okay, so skin assessments because of the bruising
then,
too.
Yeah, the way I was doing it was kind of just taking a hand towel and putting the soap on it, and rubbing my back. That's the way I could do it.
Now, do you have a bath chair in your bathroom where we sit you down so we can do this? Okay.
You can do that there, or you can do it in the bathroom is big. I can turn go in there in my wheelchair and turn it around. The shower
is there a heater in your bathroom?
A huge shower. I could go in there with my wheelchair, and I have done that. So it's a huge shower, and so
do you we can't get your right. We can't get your left leg wet. So
right.
There's no bath chair then. Okay.
Not really. Well, there is a bath chair in the shower. but mm-hmm. not really a bath chair. I know what you're talking about. No.
Yeah.
What I usually
not
do is
one
stay
that you
in the wheelchair. I stay in the wheelchair, and the aide that comes here, she just washes. She helps me wash in front of me, and then I stand up, and I have a bar against the wall that is solid,
mm-hmm.
and I grab a hold of that, and then she can wash my backside.
Okay. Have you had many falls?
You know what? I've been really good. Knock on wood. Where's the wood?
Nice. I'm knocking for you over here, too.
Okay. I have not had many falls because I think about what I'm doing before I do it. And now when I don't think about what I'm doing, it's always my fault. Like, one day the nurse was here, and I was getting up from my wheelchair to get into the recliner, and I don't know what I was thinking about. I guess I was gabbing what I should have been thinking. And I didn't lock the wheelchair.
The wheelchair, so it slid
so
back.
So I stood up, and it slid back, and then I went down. And it was a male nurse. He was here, and he looks at me and says, "What are you doing down there?" I says, "I just decided to sit down here a while."
Aw.
So
have
they
you?
Got me
when
out.
Was the last time that you were in the hospital first day?
Okay. Oh, that's easy. I was in the hospital on April 24th. I went in there at 11:59. And
okay.
April 24th. You know how I know
and what was
April
that
24th?
For? Oh, it's my ex-husband's date of birth.
That was my birth, but that's my birthday, April 24th.
Is it? Oh,
yes,
you sure it was my ex-husband. There you go. I'll never forget
so,
it now.
April 24th, that's my birthday. Anyhow, what is that going? Oh, that day was the day I went in to the wound center for my foot. And I was waiting for the Bucks County Transport to come pick me up. And I was done at 11 o'clock. But I don't know what happened that day, but they couldn't come and get me until 5:30 that day. So I sat outside all day waiting for them to come. And my foot began to hurt, and there wasn't a whole lot I could do about it. Finally, at 5:30, they come and got me. Talk about exhausted. I was just totally exhausted and tired. And my foot was aching. And, I mean, there were night they had fixed dinner for me, and they fixed a birthday cake, you know, everything. So then about 11 o'clock, I went in to get in bed. Miss Marla, she had already gotten in bed.
So that was a good night's sleep, though.
Well,
so tired.
Not yet, because I got in there to get into bed, and I tried to get up, and I was so tired, I didn't have any more strength. I couldn't stand. And so I fell in between the bed and the wheelchair.
Oh, no.
So she called her son to come in. He was holding me up, and I said, Brian, just let me down on the floor. You can't hold me up, and I can't get up, and you can't push me up. It's too heavy. Just let me down. So they let me down, and we called 911. They came over. The woman went to – she was going to check my vitals. She touched me. She stopped what she was doing. She went and got the thermometer, and she checked my temperature. I had 103 temperature.
Oh, no. Infection.
And, infection had set in. And so she says, well, you're going to the hospital. I said, well, usually you ask if I want to go. I'm not asking.
Well,
you're going.
At 103, you can have a seizure. Like,
yeah.
Those are, like, once you start going up to those temperatures, it's almost like, and I would probably be the same, like, no, we got to go. Like, not a question.
Yeah,
we got to go.
That's what she said. You got to go. So I ended up that night. That's why I says it was April 24th at 11:59.
I got it written down. I'm writing up notes.
11:59. They admitted me into the hospital, and I was there for a good solid week before I was on intravenous antibiotics in the morning and in the early afternoon and the evening. So I didn't like it, but I mean, it got me well enough to come home. So.
Well, that's good.
But that was
so
that
mainly
was my
the
last
time that you've been to the hospital has been mainly for the wounds.
Mainly for this wound, yeah.
Okay, so we really got to keep an eye on the wound.
Right.
Now,
yeah, we have to keep an eye on that.
Okay, so
wounds.
Will I be needing
that,
to replace the patching, or they come in and do it automatically?
No, they will come automatically and do it.
So
like
all I got to do
tomorrow,
is keep it dry.
Yeah.
Okay. So
tomorrow, the wound people, the lady, the nurse, there's several different nurses, but the one nurse, she'll come tomorrow, one of the other ones, and change the bandage. Then on Friday, there'll be somebody else comes back. And then on Monday, I go to the wound center. And
now, will I be taking you to the wound center, or do you get transportation?
I get transportation, but that was my other question.
Sure.
You can go with me?
Of course I can.
Okay.
That would be part of my day with you. Yeah.
Okay, that would be good, because the reason I say that is because I haven't had to do it yet, but today I was might be close to it because I had to go over to see the doctor today. And it's the same place, all the old Quakertown Hospital. And I know I had to use the bathroom. And I don't use the bathroom over there because I'm by myself.
So what difficulties do you have when you're using the bathroom? So you can stand up.
I want somebody there to be sure that I'm not having any problems.
Okay. Are you wearing any incontinence briefs right now?
I do. I wear briefs every day. Incontinence briefs, and I even put the pads on the inside of them, so that helps out. That gives a little extra life to the briefs.
No, I know it does.
But because they get expensive, so.
They do get expensive. So you are wearing incontinence briefs. There is some incontinence. How is your skin area in that region? Is there any niacin powder that we have to use? Is there any redness at this point?
I've been using is regular baby powder, but I usually get chaps. In between the legs. That's where I usually get chaps. And I usually put baby powder on. And baby powder seems to do the job.
And I'm not a doctor, but the best one to use is going to be niacin powder.
Yeah, I know. I used to have that, but baby powder was cheaper. Although they can make a prescription out of it, and I can't get it from the pharmacy. Now, my medicine comes from small town pharmacy, and they give me everything in blister pack. So
we're going to have to keep that area dry.
Yeah.
Very dry.
That's what I need to do. They had something in the hospital, which I haven't. I need to look on Amazon. See, it was a cloth that they could put down in between my thigh and stomach, and that helped keep me dry.
About like a dry cloth?
Yeah, it was a dry cloth, like, and you could take it out, you could wash it, and put it back in. Once you clean it, once
it's
dry,
reusable.
You know, it's reusable. And they had that in the hospital. I was in the hospital when I went there, and it really was. They come in and of course they wouldn't wash it. I think they throw it away, but they would come in every couple of days and they'd put a new one in. And of course they're washing every day too. So,
Okay. So we'll look into that. So keeping that area clean. How about your upper extremities? Like, are you able to do that?
I do majority of my upper extremities. I shave.
Okay, so shave.
I have
an
electric shaver. I have an electric shaver. That I use an electric shaver. But I can shave with a safety razor. They tell me because I take Eliquis, blood thinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
so
blood thinner.
Really want, yeah, they really want me to use an electric razor. But the, like this past week, I had something wrong with the razor. It needed to I had to change the blades in it, and I didn't get to it. So I said, well, I shaved the old-fashioned way. I have a mug, and I put a soap bar of soap in it, and I have a brush. And I do it that way. And that my dad showed me that when I was just starting to shave. He said, this is the way you're going to learn to shave. Not through a can, through this mug. And so, of course, he used to shave with a straight razor. I never would. I tried it one time.
Hi.
Never did it again.
Hi, guys. I'm going to have to cut you guys off. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
But you
That's
can.
All right.
Listen, she's gonna be there all the time now, so you'll be able to talk.
Right.
But, you know, you've lived a very interesting life, and I'm very happy to put the two of you together because I think you guys are going to work well together.
It sounds like we will. I really think so.
I really think so. Thank you, Jacqueline, for being so open and welcoming.
Oh, yeah. That's what I do, though. That's what I'm used to.
Sounds good. I really, really think
all right.
We'll work out real good.
So, Robert, what I'm going to do, I need to talk to the authorization department to find out how many hours you have to work with for the rest of this month, because I know that for the month of August, they had cut you down to 10 hours. And then starting in September, it's going back up to the 32 hours. So I'm going to see exactly how many units or hours you have so that we can come up with the schedule for until September. And then you can discuss the schedule when she comes over for the 32 hours, okay?
That's fine. That's fine. We can
do
that.
Does that sound
good,
Jacqueline? Okay.
Yeah, it sounds perfect, Bob. It was so very nice to meet you over the phone. I can't wait to meet you in person.
Well, I can't wait to meet myself. So I guess Friday morning will be the morning to start.
I believe so. So I'm gonna just get the confirmation from the authorizations department, and I will reach out if there's more than 10 hours. I'll let you know. And
I'm sure there is because I haven't had anything.
I know you haven't had anything, so I'm pretty sure there is too. So I just need to confirm it, though. Okay.
Right.
All right, guys.
Now, Jackie, got my phone number?
I'm going to send it over to her right now, okay?
I'll text it to her right now. Call me before you try to get here so I can give you direction. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you both. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. We'll talk to y'all soon. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.